Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Jack Farmer, and I'm coming to you live from the world famous Elite of the Week studios. And have we got a show for you? We've got title matches announced, we've got tournaments underway, and we even got some time to shoot some hoops. But before we get into all the shenanigans, hijinks, and flim flam of tonight's AEW Dynamite, allow me to introduce my co-host. The man who's green with envy about everything I do, but handles with the reflexes of a fighter pilot and willpower known throughout the universe. One of the founding members of Elite of the Week, ladies and gentlemen, it's Flobo Boyce. How you doing, Flobo?
I thank you very much for that intro, and that is definitely my third favorite. Can you guess what superhero Jack is actually referencing? Let us know in the chat, but that's actually my third favorite overall. So glad to be part of Elite of the Week. It is the Wednesday Night Delight.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening, something new we added to the show, something to kill some time while we wait for people to sign in and join, is I always reference a superhero or a villain sometimes when I'm referencing Flobo. But now we're giving you time to guess who it is. This one was a layup, as a shout out to Jade, who was doing some layups today. So you should know, I know you knew it, Flobo, but let's see if everyone else can guess who I am referring to. But Flobo, we're not alone.
What?
I'm not wearing my Mr. Rogers jacket for nothing. We're bringing back one of the OGs. We're bringing back one of the originators, one of the alumni. Ladies and gentlemen, wait, please join me in introducing the law doctor himself. It's Roger Corral. Roger, how you doing,
buddy? What is up, guys?
I'm so glad to have you back on the show or joining us this time, because I always enjoy chatting with you. Just before we went on the air, the last time we saw each other, we think it was last year's Revolution, which was one of my favorite shows in wrestling for a long, long time. But how you doing, buddy?
I just woke up from the year-long hibernation.
Last time we were in the same room together, I had a sign that literally said Corral Section.
You did.
So I'm so glad I'm part of it. Yeah.
Wow. And
I know things look rough, but things were even rougher just a few months ago, guys. So this is the best you get.
No, I'm proud of you for what you were able to do, because when the quarantine started, I tried to do the whole no cutting my hair, no shaving thing, and I wasn't able to hold on nearly as long as you did. You went the distance. You went bell to bell until the beginning of 2021 before you started cleaning up.
I had a good 6-incher going on right here, man. Like, that was intense.
My hero.
Don't quote me on any of that.
No. My hero.
I'm going to title this episode, Roger Had a Good 6-incher.
Roger 6-incher. And,
I don't know if you've been keeping up with Elite of the Week, but we have a format we do now, Roger. We have a gimmick we do. We have a way of doing this now. We don't just run down the show anymore. We don't just say this is what happened. We create a power ranking. We rank the wrestlers 1 through 10. And when I say we, I mean I do it. I tell you what the ranking is.
He does.
And you guys tell me how correct I am and how amazing it is.
He's not.
But what's cool about it is every single ranking has a point evaluation to it. So if you get first place, you get 10 points. If you're in second place, you get 9 points. Third place gets 8 points. On down the line, I keep track of it. And at the end of the year, we're going to have a top 10 power ranking with some actual factual points assigned to it. Pretty cool, right?
That is impressive. I don't know if we're still going to be here by the end of the year, like the way things are looking, but
like, we're all going to die. Roger said it.
But I like it's the confirmed. Optimism.
Right, it's going to be a. It's definitely going to be a. We might have to have one of those, like when a show gets canceled halfway through the season.
Just rush everything.
The end of the world is coming, but before you go, make sure to check out the final episode of Elite of the Week. Before we get into all of the rankings and stuff, though, just overall, Roger, what do you think of this week's show?
I swear, man, I feel like January, February is like the ultimate AEW months. Like, like we were talking about last year we had that epic tag team match with, like, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and Hangman. And then prior to that, we had like some epic matches before then with Hangman and Pac and all these other matches. I feel like every week this, like the past 4 or 5 weeks, we've had like match of the year potential candidates. That main event was spectacular. The women's match was spectacular. The random mid-card matches are spectacular. Just a great show, man.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I agree. Flobo, how did you feel about it?
So I was trying to figure this out. Like, I don't want to compare it to WCW, but I feel like Revolution has become like the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, right? Because like this time last year, we had that brutal match with your boy, Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. So like, I don't know. Is it the Starrcade? Is it the Super Brawl? Like, I don't know. But as we hit the way to it, yeah, a lot of things are being told. A lot of stories are being told. Things are layered storytelling. I'm on board. Why not?
I sound like such an AEW homer, but I feel like every time we get closer to a pay-per-view, I'm like, well, this is clearly their Starrcade. This is clearly their WrestleMania. They're going big for it. And I'm doing it again. I feel like Revolution is going to be big. I feel like this was an amazing show, even though this was a perfect show for, even though you may know most of the winners and losers going into it, it still turns out to be a fun and great show, in my opinion. Now let's get down to the rankings. Let's get to the fun stuff. This is what everyone comes here for. Find out who's number 1 through 10. But before we do, Flobo, who was the hero we referenced?
Well, it is my third favorite Green Lantern of all time, Hal Jordan, fighter pilot for Ferris Aircraft. He is a Silver Age Green Lantern, and he is a man without fear.
I'm so glad you even got the right Green Lantern.
That's impressive, man.
Yeah, Hal Jordan. I know he's one of your favorites, so I wanted to throw that one in there as one of our early guesses there. Are you a superhero fan, Roger? Were you able to guess it?
I did not guess it because I haven't been big on Green Lantern. I know. I think I keep getting caught up in some bad versions of it. But, you know, I guess
fair. That's also fair. Yeah. I can't get mad. Roger, you're so correct.
We're so early in this this whole game, though. I can't wait till we get deep into the woods and I have to have, like, crossbones as a person.
Right.
Just like these people that
I can't
guess
that one.
Where it's just like, he's a villain. Someone who's not a villain, it's number one on the list. The person that is the number one power-ranked person today, and I am going to give it to Riho. She's the first to move on in the Women's Eliminator Tournament on the American side and had possibly her best match to date against someone who has been nearly unbeatable in AEW and the current NWA Women's Champion, and I dare say she has to be the favorite to win the whole thing.
Hold on.
Sorry, Roger.
I have to cut in here. I know you're our guest. Please come back next time. But listen, Jack has not been the biggest Riho fan. That is okay. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But in my notes, I swear, if Jack does not put Riho number one, we's going to have problems. I am so surprised that you have Riho number one. What a complete performance match tonight.
I worked with Jack every week, and this man hated on Riho every week.
I know. I still am saying it. Yo, Roger should be here every week, bro. I need to...
Listen, just like Shakira's hips, the numbers don't lie. I can't deny it. It's the she had a phenomenal match. It was. I agree. Match of the night. I don't think you can argue it. I think that she has the momentum to now. She's the certified favorite at this point to be the winner of this tournament and to go on to get a title shot. She did everything right. I loved her outfit that she came out with as well. I loved everything about how this was presented. And now it makes sense to me why she's on the American side, because obviously all the Japanese matches have been, it looks like, filmed somewhere else. I'm guessing in Japan. So she's here in the States. That's why she's on the American side of things. But yeah, I mean, you got to take out your own personal feelings about it. And sometimes, like, I don't hate her. I'm just saying, you know, I thought there was
really, though? Really?
And I think that,
really?
I think that at the end of the day, I can't argue. I thought it was great.
Look, forget it was great. Here is Serena Deeb, one of the most underrated talents that we've seen in a generation. She got a bad deal when she worked up in Connecticut. We don't talk about that organization here that much on this show. And Riho was someone we only saw a year ago. So frankly, all things were pointing to having a substandard match, and not only did they shine, and not only was the match tonight, it's definitely a sign of what's to come in the AEW women's division. I'm telling you, Jack, it was amazing.
Jack didn't know how good he had it. Like,
I know.
He didn't know how good he had it. The women's division, we have some strong contenders. But honestly, the women's division is back with Riho. Riho puts it on another level.
And tell him.
I think Serena Deeb was a perfect talent to work with. She kind of reminds me of Ivory. Like in the, mm-hmm. in the it,
oh
like,
my God, yes.
Because her style is kind of like, it's rough. Like, you don't want to take a punch from her, but she's still adaptable to any style. And yes. She has experience and it works. And so working with Riho was perfect because Riho is, you know, you want to throw her around, but Riho got power too, man. So it was a perfect blend of styles here. And I thought, you're right, it potentially match of the night.
One thing I think we can all agree on is that you two are supposed to fight against each other, not gang up on me for my previous indiscretions. That's
hater.
Dylan Matthews in the chat said, mark it 3:08 p.m. Thursday on the 18th of February. That's the future in Australia.
Yeah,
mark it on your calendar. Me giving props to the AEW women's division for the first time. Riho and Deeb slapped. I agree.
By the way, this is for those listening. This is actually 8 p.m. up local time, so it's like the future
for us. Yes,
I'm in 2022 somehow. I don't.
Yeah. So as long as Dylan is posting, I always say the end of the world's not coming. As long as Dylan posts, he's like my canary in the mine shaft.
He's
as
like
long
Kushida.
As,
yeah.
As long as he's as long as he's able to see the future. But Dylan, you know, you remind me something I always want to do is thank everyone for joining us and watching along in the chat. Dylan, we've got Grace. We've got, I hope I pronounced it, Ilion Prada. Thank you guys so much for joining along. Wow.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome.
And everyone who listens to us on the podcast after the show airs live on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all those other great spots and Twitch and everything like that. Thank you guys so much for joining us. It's always really appreciated. If you could give us a 5-star review, a like, a comment, a share, all that good stuff that we always have to ask you for, because that's what keeps the numbers going. And numbers are what drive the world like they drive this ranking system. Isn't that right, fellas?
Choo choo!
After three. And also, if you love Roger, man, Roger's amazing. You know, I'm still waiting for that invite. That's right. I said, I mean that guy. But the weekly finisher, I swear to you, is one of the best hours or hour and changes of wrestling commentary. Weekly finisher, check it out.
Thank you, guys.
I steal most of my takes from Roger.
Absolutely. I mean, he doesn't know it, but now he does. So it's kind of awkward.
But yeah, you guys have a great show. It's always really fun. You guys have a lot of fun takes, but you're also fun and keep it interesting. And I don't want to keep saying the word fun, but it's funny. It's good. It's a good time. So definitely check that out as well.
My goal is funny all the time.
I love it. That's what my shirt says. But someone with a shirt that usually says something very terrible and mean. Person number two on the list, on the power ranking, it's Jon Moxley. Was he the center of attention in the main event? No. Did he get beat up at the end? Yes. But after all the dust settles, he gets to go back to his hotel room knowing that he has a shot at the AEW Heavyweight Championship of the World. And it's in a kind of match that plays right into his hands. And I have to believe that if it's an exploding death match, that makes him the favorite to be the one to walk out of Revolution as the AEW World Champion. Am I crazy?
Okay. I feel bad. I feel bad for every wrestler in AEW because whenever you bring in a wrestler like Jon Moxley, it's kind of like having Mick Foley in the company or having Terry Funk in the company. It's like you don't have a choice but to get hardcore. And so like someone like Kenny Omega, who specializes in his in-ring work and like is so delicate in every move, you have no choice but to go there all the time because Jon Moxley's always there. He's throwing potatoes at people. He wants to explode things. He wants to hit you with things. I feel bad, man. Like, last year, everything turned into blood and guts. Like, what? Why?
Bring up a good point. It's no fun. It's no fun either because you're like, because at first when you're saying this, I'm like, well, I would do the smart thing. I would say, I'm just going to go for the other title. But then I look at Darby Allin with the title.
Yeah, there's
gets people with thumbtack skateboards. That's no better either.
Called it.
What am I supposed to go after here? Like, what are you supposed to do?
I want to go after the title that has wrestlers defend it who like to use things like silk and linen and
wrestles. cotton.
Flobo, what say you?
You know what? John Moxley was not on my top three, but you know what? I can't complain with this because here's a person that I told you this time last week, he feels like a champ, even though he doesn't have the championship belt. I mean, AEW was in a whole new era, whole new stratosphere with Jon Moxley as champion. He has to get one more opportunity. I know rematches are kind of lame, but this one I wanted to see because this time last year, I still remember that Death Rider paradigm shift, 30 deeds. On the wooden planks of the canvas, I know Kenny Omega has that in the back of his mind. So, yeah, why not? Good pick.
Well, when that paradigm shift happened, he had it on the front of his mind, the back of his mind. I mean, the whole ring went through his head there. It was such a big shot. But, I mean, it's one of those things. I get what you're saying, Flobo, that sometimes the rematch is like, okay, here we go again. But these two have now had two matches. Both of them were great. Now it's kind of like a rubber match situation. And when you add that stipulation, an exploding cage death match, I don't know if you guys ever played that Fire Pro Wrestling game, but they have those in there, and they are ridiculous. I don't know if you guys ever watched those old FMW tapes. I'm dating myself. They used to do those, yeah. And they were ridiculous. I'm excited. I would not be excited if I was one of these guys. I mean, I'd be like, if I was told to do this kind of match, I'd personally be like, I'm an accountant now. Maybe I'm doing something a little safer. Do you think going into this, Roger, who's the favorite? Does this make Jon Moxley the favorite going into that match now?
Yeah, honestly, like I feel bad. I feel like someone like Kenny, again, he wants to fight wrestlers. And I don't even know if Moxley is a wrestler. He's a brawler. And this guy is like, he'll do anything to get that title. Kenny is stuck talking to children, reading children's books. I don't think he has the advantage in this. Jon Moxley has defined AEW since he got there, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Flobo, one thing that you and I have disagreed on a lot is that I think Don Callis is like a mastermind, and I think he's smart. I think Kenny Omega has been smart, and they've been handling this thing smart. This feels stupid on their part to me. One, it's the kind of match that Jon Moxley is probably just super pumped about. He probably went home and called his wife right away and was like, guess what I'm doing? But also,
we're making another baby. That.
Yeah. Hello, significant other. I'll put my bio on the line on Mars.
So, but hear me out. I mean, if you're Kenny Omega, you're like parachute. You're if emergency pull lever situation is the Good Brothers coming to help you. But if there's explosive devices all around the ring, you've limited their ability to help you. It's like he's double booked against himself. This is a bad move, right?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I had my reservations as Kenny Omega as AEW champion, you can't bet him out of here. Because not only does he have Don Callis, not only does he have the Good Brothers, he has an assortment of individuals that do not like Jon Moxley. Have we forgot about Kenta? I mean, this may be Kenny Omega's opportunity to beat Jon Moxley at his own game. And I don't know, man, but I'm here for it, bruh.
Man, I mean, I could be the best of friends with Kenny Omega, but if he said help me in the middle of an explosive death match.
You're on your own, bro.
I'm Moxley, but nah, fam, yeah. I don't know you that well.
What like, kind of friend are you, Jack? Jeez.
Not a good one.
No, you're not, yeah.
It could be my dad, and I'd be like, Dad, you're on your own. I don't know.
But I gave birth to you.
No. Just, am I in the will? That's all I need to know.
Yo, Jackson Hill, confirmed.
So let's go. Let's move on. Let's keep this train moving. We're going to person number three on the list. And not to sound repetitive, but person number three is going to be Serena Deeb. Oh. She feels like one of the top champs of AEW, regardless of what her title has written on the front of it. She had the crowd chanting her name, which against Riho really means something. She couldn't have overcome that knee injury, but I still think she put on match of the night. I think there was great back and forth, tons of near falls, and dare I say, if her knee was 100%, we might be talking about a different person moving forward. Flobo, yeah. Even though she lost, does she deserve this high of a ranking?
You know what? I look at Serena Deeb and I had her pegged to actually win it. I know you had Rio to win this bracket, but I was like, Serena Deeb is definitely not a bad choice to do it. And they're right. The match was matched tonight. No doubt about that. But you know what? Serena Deeb, and I would say compared to up in Connecticut, there's this professional wrestler named Cesaro. I think those two individuals are the most underrated individuals in the wrestling arts and sciences, hands down. Serena Deeb has the years on it. She could work with any different style. And even if the Riho naysayers named Jack was watching this match, it hit a whole different level. So you know what? Well-deserved, Serena Deeb. Came on the wrong end of it, but doesn't mean you're not top tier.
I fully agree. I again, if you could earn the crowd, and by the way, I'm so happy that we're starting to get some reactions and we're getting crowds, and it, because they tell you what works, and I feel like Serena works. Like sometimes you might be watching it at home and you're like, I'm not sure if this company would push her. We should push her. Like, she's great. That was excellent, top notch, great.
I mean, the fact that she is the NWA Women's Champion is, and the fact that she's still making so much hay here in AEW is a big deal. I think that when I look at her, she's like the quintessential wrestler. And Flobo, I think that analogy of comparing her to Cesaro is really well placed because, yeah, she just, when she walks out, there's just an air of like, this is important, this is big, and she handles business in that ring. I don't know what match she's had that hasn't been good. Like I said, if not for that little knee injury, that little ding on the knee, but she was giving it back to Rio. There were so many times during this match where I was like, oh, that's it. Oh, that's it. Oh, you know, like I was fooled many a times. And as a jaded old wrestling fan who's seen it a million times, that rarely happens for me. Roger, I know you're similar. You've been watching wrestling for 1,000 years. Did they get you?
I don't know. I'm probably just as jaded. No, yeah. And I mean, she did Riho was going all in. I think she delivered her top rope stomp. She went all out. And, you know, it took a lot to get that victory. So I'm hoping this isn't the end. Serena Deeb still is the NWA champ. I don't know what's going on with that company as of now. I really enjoyed them on their weekly show every time they have their show on. So I want to see more of her. Her matches with Thunder Rosa, her matches with other people, they're just, she's phenomenal.
Well, I need to get you guys arguing. I need to get you guys mad at each other. I need to get you guys all red in the face, spit flying out of your mouth like you're John Moxley or Eddie Kingston.
Against each other or making fun of you? Come on.
No. Everyone likes me. I'm the likable one. That's the way. Even though I just said I would abandon my own father.
Dad hates me.
That's how we started off the show.
Yeah, he's right.
But it's time to get things thrown off here. It's time for a little special segment. Now, Roger, I always give a bonus point to the best dressed. You know, I always give a bonus point to the person who I feel like brought some flair, brought some style. And Flobo always disagrees with me, so I want to hear what you say.
No, I disagree with you when Kenny Omega wins it, because he can't dress worth crap. But go ahead.
This week, the best dressed is Kenny Omega.
Oh my goodness. He had a great suit.
The black and the pink and the white. I loved it. But the best part is when he came out in that Shakespearean poet shirt at the end of the night. He's a fashion icon. Roger, am I crazy? Saying?
We need a harpoon. Like, that was beautiful. Okay, I think I love Kenny Omega's style. It is top notch. I feel like, you know, you had your 80s style, your 90s style. You had your baggy pants in the early 2000s. I define this era as the Kenny Omega era in terms of style. And I try to dress just like him every week.
Stop it. Stop it. Kenny Omega style. Stop it. Come on. I thought we were cool, Roger. What's going on? What a squared is Kenny Omega, who just picks things at random at the local Kohl's or TJ Maxx. You kidding me, bro?
The only other person that could have pulled that shirt off as good as Kenny Omega is Kevin Sorbo on Hercules, I think.
He didn't pull it off, though, Jack. He did the opposite.
Okay, you're telling me those boots weren't fly? Like, those boots weren't fly.
It's not the problem of everything individually, but when you combine, like, Voltron to be the most disgusting display of fashion. For me, my money, Jay Cargill should have won Best Dressed. But whatever, dude. Fine. Kenny Omega wins another one this week.
Yo, but his style is like, it's not just combining like Voltron. It's like a Voltron and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and a Transformer all came together to make one super monstrosity. That's and then the head was whatever that big thing is that eats trucks at like the monster truck shows. Like that's what this is, and it's beautiful, Flobo. I don't know why you can't see it.
Doesn't it feel like he's grabbing clothes on the way in? Like
yeah. Oh, so they said after the fact, that's what I've been trying to say for weeks.
His style looks like if you go to like the Goodwill or something with your friends and you're like, hey, check this out. Who would buy this? He goes, I would. And
then
so you're saying that Ann's still giving him the point? Are you kidding me?
God, okay, here's the thing.
What's going on, y'all?
Flobito, it's a confidence. Yo. It's a confidence. Like, yes. That's what matters. If John Moxley wore that, he would be embarrassed. But Kenny Omega is not embarrassed. He embraces it, and he makes it look fly.
That is not how fashion works. And I also say Jade Cargill actually had confidence and looked attractive in her outfit, so I have to give it to her.
Man, I say it every week, Flobo. Fashion is temporary. Style is forever, and... guy just has it. Just has it.
I'm gonna jetpack out of here, man. I'm out.
Can we just do the rest of the show talking about Kenny Omega's wardrobe?
Stop. Yeah,
I'll be honest. Don't there was the first it. Week when he came out with like you know he definitely unveiled his new style and one week and man Flobo got so mad at you. So
whether he probably smells like Fritos. Stop it.
Whether he's on the golf course, whether he's reading books to kids, whether he's hitting you with his shoe, he looks good. I love it. So
I hate everything.
So bonus point for Kenny Omega. Now we go to number four. Number four is the Young Bucks. They needed a strong defense here because they've kind of looked like chumps over the past month or two. But this match slapped. They look great. They get a bonus point for a title defense. I may have forgotten to mention that. I give a bonus point if you defend a title. But really? They get a bonus point for the title defense. They probably would have been higher, but they got beat down right after the match. And they kind of got showed up by Proud and Powerful, if I'm honest. But they got a hard-fought win in the tag team division, defended those titles, and it was a fun match. So they get number four. Flobo, how do you feel?
So, Roger, you'll know that there's no rhyme or reason to this thing. Because this guy last week, it points to the Good Brothers. You know, they're not really signed to AEW. They look way stronger today than the Young Bucks. But sure, whatever. Look, the Young Bucks deserve to be on this list, top 10. Number four is kind of generous because, you know, they got kind of beaten to the ground, like hard. But when it comes down to it, the match itself was pretty solid. So why not?
If I know anything about Jack, his list always makes sense at the end.
They don't. He's changed that.
I always say I've got yarn connected to pins in the walls, and I've got connecting things in a big spider web. I've got spreadsheets. I've got analytics. I've got IBM is running all sorts of things over here. It's lots of stuff going on. It all makes sense.
I believe in you, man. Look, can I just say I was really surprised.
You never say I believe in you to someone you actually believe in.
After a speech like that, I say I believe in you. Can I just say Proud and Powerful have not gotten a title shot this whole time? I couldn't believe that. Like that was wild to me. This is their first shot at a tag team title. I think they deserve better. I feel bad that they're a part of the circle. I feel bad that they're part of the inner circle because MJF and Jericho, that's temporary. That's not going to last. And I feel like they deserve better. And I think that we'll get there soon. I was kind of bummed out that they lost. I was hoping for an inner circle match, maybe at Revolution, but whatever.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for that too.
Can we talk about Grace Navarro's comment? She says, yes, Kenny Styles A1. I'm not sure how to take this. You gotta be kidding me. Because a month ago, he wore purple paisley with black and white pinstripes and brown shoes. Are you nuts?
Okay,
what?
She might mean A1 steak sauce, and then that's...
Oh, yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's that like that carb drip, right? That's that, that brown sugar drip.
Yeah. That's a little more polarizing, yeah.
Man, well, I love his style, and Grace, I agree with you, whether it's steak sauce or just good. Let's go to number five. Number five, Brian Cage. Both sides of this rivalry have felt like they ran out of things to say. So what did Brian Cage do? He just picked up Sting and powerbombed the tar out of him, all while wearing his GMSI shirt. He wasn't in a match, but it's probably been decades since the Stinger's been powerbombed, and I'd say that may go down as a career highlight for this Wolverine. Roger, how did you feel? I know you're an old school WCW fan like myself. How did you feel seeing the Stinger just get powerbombed like that?
I'm not gonna lie, I wanted to turn off the TV. Like, that's not appropriate. Like you've been hyping up Sting this whole time. The man comes out and does rescues every week. He's a man of the dark. Like, and this man got powerbombed like nothing.
I almost giggled a little bit because it was like Sting comes in there swinging a bat and Brian Cage just like whoop bam, and it's just like, yeah, who better? You've been waiting for some action to take place in this rivalry. Is this what you were looking for?
I don't know what I was looking for, but I got that instead. Because you told me, you said Brian Keith number four or five? Was it five? I was like, why? I was like, yeah, this guy Sting, winter was coming, buy his t-shirt today, got powerbound like a chump, and he sold it like he was shot. It was like, oh, power. I was like, wait, the icon Sting got leveled out by a powerbound? It reminds me of the first Avengers, when the Hulk just says, all right, puny god, and it's put the brakes off Loki. Okay. So, yeah, I think Brian Keith is the extra point, but how decisive it was.
You're right. That was like the finale of Dallas, man. Imagine you're at home wearing a Stinger shirt and you see that. What are you?
It just arrives in the mail too. Like, cause it takes some time. You know, after you order, he just shows up. You order, you put it on. You're like, yeah, let's go, Stinger. Bam.
Tonight's the night, Dad.
Well, there you go. That's the icon right there.
Man, he was looking up like, wow. This was a lot more difficult than I thought it was. I was thinking a Stinger splash, and then I'm gonna hit you with the death drop. Wolverine was like, nah, man, I'm team.
All elite trick.
Team Taz. Wow. I loved it. I thought it was great. Come on, I mean, you take out Taz, you're at least number five. I feel like that goes without saying. I feel like that's just part of the rules. That's part of the way things go. And that leads us into the part of the show I don't like. Roger, there's a part of the show I don't like doing. I don't like doing this part.
He loves it.
Is it mean? Number six?
No, it's mean. It's rude. I don't like being mean to people. But the producers, they say I got to have a dud of the week. The show is dynamite. But sometimes TNT doesn't go off. Sometimes it's a dud. Sometimes someone has the worst week imaginable. And I got to give it to Sting. Dude tried to come out with his snow and his pomp and his circumstance, and he got flattened. No boom, just dud, staring up at the lights. Okay, did he have the worst night of the night? I mean, he had to, right?
Yeah, legit question. That wasn't a good idea, right?
I don't think so.
I think the headlines will read tomorrow, Brian Cage assaults elderly man. Because that's exactly what it looked like. It's like, why'd you do this, Brian? Where's my bat? Oh, gosh.
I mean, I feel bad. Sting came out so confident, too. No. Cue the music. I'm going to show these whippersnappers how it's done. He walks out there and just gets powerbombed. It wasn't like he got clotheslined, right? It wasn't like a body slam. I mean, he got powerbombed.
No, and it wasn't like a Kevin Nash powerbomb either. This was a powerbomb, man.
Powerbombed him. It's got to be 20 years since he's been hit with a powerbomb, right? Like, yeah. I would. Someone in the chat, someone listening, please do me a favor. Go look back. When was the last time Sting was powerbombed? I think it's got to be Kevin Nash in WCW. And I don't even know if Kevin Nash ever powerbombed him. I'm just assuming because they were both there. But I can't imagine a time Sting got powerbombed.
Maybe Abyss in TNA? Those TNA years?
Yeah, things got a little weird. Do we count Joker Sting, though? Was that a real
We have to.
Of course we count Joker Sting.
Do we count Jordan's Jordan on the Wizard?
No, I don't count Jordan on the Wizard.
The jerseys exist, Jack. The jersey exists.
No, that doesn't count. That's like when people get their own name on the back of a jersey. It's not real. It doesn't count. Let's move on. Let's move on to number six. Number six, I'm going Matt Hardy. He got a big win in the opening match. He did, even though Hangman did all the real work, he kind of snuck in. He got the win. Now, he may lose a lot of money once all said and done over at Revolution, but he was able to get the Hangman to risk his 2021 quarter one earnings, and Hangman didn't even have to. So big money Matt, in my opinion, may have reversed some of his bad fortunes here and may have started moving in a positive direction, digging himself out of a hole last week. He was better the week last week, by the way, Roger. What do you think? What do you think? Is he a good number six here?
I like Matt Hardy, and I like the direction he's going in. I hope they spruce up this match. I want to see like dollars on a pole stipulation or something. It needs some
dollars on a pole. That sounds like a strip club.
Wait, I just realized it as I said it. Yeah, all right. I think you could spruce up this match. Matt Hardy he does great psychological work in the ring, and Hangman, in my opinion, is one of the top wrestlers in this company, probably top two, top three. So this can't be anything but great. I'm excited for it. I feel bad because I feel like Hangman never gets the love that he deserves. You know, John Hungy came out and like they're trying to give him some love. And you know, I feel like Matt Hardy kind of played with him a little bit, and I don't like when they play with Hangman.
I agree. Hangman might be my favorite overall in the company. But Flobo, what say you? How do you feel about big money Matt here? Again, the win, when you factor in the fact that he got a win, he didn't actually work as much as the other guy did, and he dug himself out of the hole a bit in the end.
Yeah, I don't really know what big money Matt is. I still don't know what big money is. He an agent? Does he play the stock market? Did he buy Dogecoins? No idea what this is. I am glad he's done from being Damascus and woken and broken, but I don't know. I can't get excited about this guy. This is a guy who's clutching at straws. Really? Like, what does big money mean? Is he a guy that's going to give me investment tips? Help me out, Jack.
Well, he takes 30% from private party.
Oh, and he was number one then. He should be number one.
Well, I think if he had added in Hangman's 30%, then maybe. But I don't know if private party is doing they're not the most lucrative tag team on the roster. They're hardly on anymore. They're more of an Impact tag team, it seems like. Lately.
Oh, my God.
Is that big money, though, Jack? That's not big money at all.
Well, that's why.
But I'm going to put you on Impact, y'all, Tuesday nights. Huh?
If he gets 2021 Hangman money, then I think maybe he becomes big money Matt. So there's a lot on the line. If he doesn't win this, he might be media money Matt.
I mean, he ain't big money, that's for sure.
They lost an opportunity here with the stock market. They could have shot Matt Hardy to the moon with a gimmick related to the stock market.
To the moon!
To the moon!
I like this
That's
guy.
The other Why show. That's the other show. I'm loving me some Cameron Grimes, by the way, right now. But Josh Alonso in the chat. Shout Slayer. Out, Josh. I think he's good. I think if we were to use the what's the nursery rhyme where there's the three bears and like one's porridge is too cold, one porridge is too hot, and one's just right. I feel like if Big Money Matt can beat Hangman, he won't be too cold. He'll be just right. He won't be too hot, too cold. He'll be just right.
Hangman deserves better. He's definitely the best character right now. Original, has his own needs and wants and desires. He should be not necessarily going after Omega now, but listen to that picture. He should be standing there going, hey, my best buddy is now on top of the mountain, the final boss in my professional wrestling organization. I should be in this conversation, not hanging around with the Dark Order. Big money man. Come on.
Well, he's not hanging out with the Dark Order, technically.
Whatever, Jack.
We're going to find out that he was hanging out.
He's actually he's been pulling the strings all along.
Just beer ponging with them. Yeah.
someone who's had their strings pulled. It's number 7. We're going to give it to Proud and Powerful. These guys were overdue for a title shot, and I was blown away by the fact this was their first one. They over-delivered here, though. Their tag team moves were nonstop. Win, lose, or draw coming up. They're one of the best in the business, in my opinion. I love the moves they were doing, like the Cazador into the neck breaker, back breaker combo. I damn near thought they had it when they hit the street sweeper as well. This team is so good. They're one of my favorite teams. I think they check every single box you're looking for. I even sent a text to Flobo that I think Ortiz is the most underappreciated wrestler going right now. I love these two. Flobo and I have chatted about them before. Roger, what say you?
I feel like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, like he reminds me, is it Ortiz or Santana? The guy with the crazy hair.
Ortiz.
He reminds me of George the Animal Steel. He has so many great mannerisms. Like, this guy could sell you anything. Probably not a car. I want someone more trustworthy. But, like, he could sell you, like...
What?
I wouldn't say no to him.
But, like, he's intimidating. And so, like, whenever you have him in big matches like this, that's why that street fight they had against Best Friends, it was so pivotal to their careers because everyone got to see how good these guys are. And tonight was just another night for them to highlight that. So that was great.
I want so much more from them. Flobo, are you buy, selling, or holding on these guys right now?
Here's the thing. I'll buy. Answer your question, buy. But you sit here and told me that Ortiz is underrated. You tell me it was one of the best tag teams, and they're number 7 on your list? Number 3 on mine. They deserve 8 full points for the display they put on today. But Jack Farmer says, I'll praise these guys, but they're at the top the last 3 of the night. I'm just saying.
At the end of the day, they lost. Hey, you can't. It's hard to take a loss and not and get high up on the rankings. When you take a hard loss.
True. So did Serena Deeb lose her match today? Where's Serena Deeb today?
We all agreed they had match of the night. We can't, you know, you got to give it to them.
Hater.
I love these guys. I think the difference is, too, is they're also stuck behind another Inner Circle tag team that they've got to get around, which has been the story of their run in AEW, stuck behind another Inner Circle tag team. And where Serena Deeb, look, she's still a champion. She can just go on and say, hey, I'm still a champion, so whatever. I'm living my best life. Where these guys now have to figure out, do they want to stay as the second fiddle tag team in their own stable, let alone within the company?
That's a really good point. Serena was growing horizontally. That's what we call horizontal success, baby. It didn't work out. But Santana and Ortiz, they were just trying to get gold to begin with, man.
Do you really think that MJF and Chris Jericho is the number one tag team in that group? Is that what you're saying?
They're the ones with the title shot.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Revolution.
I'm asking you, do you think MJF and Chris Jericho are the number one tag team in that Inner Circle group?
I'm saying you can't argue it. Like, it's like saying, do you really think Tom Brady is the best quarterback going right now? I'm not asking about Tom Brady, Jack.
I'm asking you personally. Do you think that MJF and Jericho are the number one tag team in the Inner Circle?
Yes. I mean, I like Proud and Powerful.
What?
But I'm saying right now, they say it themselves. They won the match that says they're the number one tag team in the Inner Circle. There's facts and figures. Like I said, I've got
facts and figures of wrestling, dude.
I've pulled it up on AOL.com and I've looked it up on my supercomputer here. It fills up half a room. And it says that they're the number one team in the group. Everyone says it. It's like a fact. I can't argue. I don't like it, but it's a fact.
You're just a messenger.
I'm just a messenger. I run on analytics. I'm like IBM. All
right. Like, if you say so.
I'm like 2010 IBM.
You're more like Enron at this point.
Enron.
I wish those guys made a killing. Speaking of people who make a killing, number 8, Lance Archer. He tore through everyone in the main event. At one point, he was choking out 2 dudes and headbutt another. He was on the winning team. And I'd say outside of Phoenix's hot tag, he was really the focal point and the star of the main event that really drove to their team winning the whole thing. Flobo, last week, you said, I'm done. when it comes to Lance Archer. Roger, are you done with Lance
Archer? That's the worst impression of me ever. That's the worst.
No, I'm not done with Lance Archer. Lance Archer is a once-in-a-generation talent, and he just hasn't found his flow. He is. He is. And he hasn't found his flow in this company, but he will. It's hard to find big men.
It's been a year.
No. It's hard to find.
It's been a year.
Well, I know.
This is a different year, though.
2020 doesn't count. 2020 doesn't count.
Yeah. For real? Time doesn't count, y'all.
It's a construct. Doesn't it?
I'm like Jack. I'm just looking at the figures, man.
When in doubt, just say, "Look, I'm looking at the figures." Bro,
there's a lot left from Lance Archer. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got a ton of gas in the tank. Flobo, justify your obscene comments that you made about Lance Archer.
Obscene, like putting Ortiz's antenna at number 7, like that kind of obscene? Look, man, look. Lance Archer's one of those guys that is a horse. He's a dark horse. He works. He comes out with wins and losses. But when things start to count, he chokes. So I'm just saying, look, man, when we have these big matches and you don't win, I can't get invested in you. You got to win today. Great. I mean, Eddie Kingston got the loss today. Great. But I don't really feel like I'm going to invest in Lance Archer ever again.
So, man, see, that's where you're crazy. This guy kills everybody. Everybody dies. And then he loses one match to the best wrestler on the planet, 14, John Moxley, the guy ranked number 1 by every single ranking magazine in the world. They put him number 1. Lance Archer loses one match to this guy. Like, I'm done. He's over.
It's not that he lost one match.
I grew up. Goldberg's won for 2 years straight.
Well, people have been done on Goldberg for a long time, Jack. I'm just saying. But look, here's Lance Archer.
Goldberg for life, in, baby.
Goldberg. There's some guys for Goldberg for life. I'm not knocking them. Is these two guys here? Not me, though. You got Lance Archer, man. I'm not knocking him. Like I said, I met him once in the airport. Cool guy. Back when he was Vance Archer on WWCW. So if he's clipped this out, make sure that we're friends. But look, every time he has a match that counts, I know he's going to lose. That's someone I can't buy into. So you can't knock me for that. He's winning these matches fine. Take the Snake is going, good job, Lance. But
oh, my God.
In the bottom of my heart, he's not going to be a bona fide threat to any piece of gold in that organization. And that's me, it's critical.
You know what I see him as? I think he's the Kane of this company. A solid big guy that probably wins the title for one day and then he drops it the very next day. But he's a top main eventer. You'll pay good money to see him and he'll deliver good matches.
I will say I agree with that too, Roger, because I also think he's one of those guys, win, lose, or draw, you know when he's in a match, someone's getting beat up. Someone's going to take a beating. Someone's going to take some lumps. And that's what I pay to see. I like to see guys beat people, other people up. That's,
what do you pay to see? You don't pay anything to see anything.
I mean, like, if someone's going to cause great misfortune to someone else, I like to see it. It's a fun thing to do.
You're a terrible human being.
That's why we were here.
Oh, yeah, right. Blood and Guts coming soon.
Blood and Guts, baby.
Blood and Guts. Still waiting on Blood and Guts.
Still waiting, man.
I wonder if they're waiting for it at this point. It seems like they might as well.
Every morning I wake up hoping tonight is Blood and Guts.
Tonight is Blood and Guts. I read it. After I shower, I ride it into the mirror. speaking of. That's a transition. Number 9, Hangman Adam Page. Whether he likes it or not, Hangman may be a tag team specialist. He got a win here, and he may win a lot of money in the future. He would have been ranked higher, but he gave up his edge by giving Hardy a chance to win all of his money. Would be completely off the table if he didn't have the Dark Order as well come in and save him, showing that maybe that alliance is still there, still strong. I'm going to be honest with you. Hangman Adam Page and the Dark Order are the Jim and Pam of this generation. I want to see them together. I want to see it work. It's destined in the stars. Flobo, are you just rude?
Hangman Adam Page.
One in this situation.
He's great, and I think he's a good ninth position. But man, I want to see him fly and do his own thing, cowboy-ish, buttless chaps. Give me the whole deal. The Dark Order stuff. You haven't told me what Dark Order is. Why would anyone join this? It's a club that doesn't even have a room to meet up after class. Come on, Adam Page. You deserve better. Do cooler stuff, cowboy. Number 9.
They have a keep.
Oh, I saw a Cobra Kai reference in the comments, so that was cool. But yeah, like, I think this is more of a Roy and Pam relationship that we got going on.
No.
Wow, Jack is upset.
Because you think you, Hangman reminds me of like high school love, and like he's trying to find like the right love, and every year you think it's the one. Pretty soon you're a sophomore and junior in college. You got nothing, baby. You got nothing. Nothing's working out for you. Hangman needs to find that perfect person, and it's definitely not Matt Hardy.
You know, that's actually a great analogy, high school love, because he is a bit like with Dark Order, like, hey, you know, we're great together. Let's work together. And then suddenly he's like, hey, you know what? Spring break's coming. You know, yeah,
he hangs out with them behind the bleachers, but then come spring break, he doesn't want to hang out with them.
Oh my gosh, what a hussy! Why would he do that?
The cheerleaders are coming over here.
No, that's terrible.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. But he is a. But I want to see him. I don't know what he's. This is what makes him great. I want to see what he does next. I don't really care what it's. I don't really care who it's with or what he does. But like right now, because Dark Order has become so lovable and he is so lovable, I'm like, this is great. It's a great team up. Dare I say, maybe they even bring in old Sammy Guevara now that he's walking that lonely road that Batista walks alone. but it's a pit of danger. But he, so anyways. Number 10. Let's go to number 10. FTR. These guys are just solid. They're strong. They're fast. They work together. They hit hard. They're not brothers, but they work together like they are. They can match anyone and everyone in the ring. They're looking like they might be going for more than just a win at Revolution. They might be going for some hair. Roger, my question to you is, if you had to make a tag team division and you could choose any and all tag teams that are brothers or any and all tag teams that are not brothers, which tag team division would be stronger?
What are you on, Jack?
Okay, just stop for a second. This is how people fail classes. Like, I have no idea what you just asked. But
if a train leaves Denmark at 6 and you have 17 apples.
And FTR is conducting the train. Here's the thing. I think FTR is definitely the team you want to build a company behind. But I think number 10 is perfect for them. They have yet to captivate me after their dream match with the Young Bucks.
Ooh.
I think they have pressure on them because they were hyped up. They were hyped up after NXT, and people said they didn't use them right on the main roster in WWE. People said they didn't use them right out in the Indies, so then they got them in AEW. And now they're supposed to highlight how great they are. And I like them. They're solid. They're great. But I think as long as they keep doing what they're doing right now, they're going to stay at 10.
How do you feel, Flobo? I know you have strong opinions of FTR.
My opinions are not strong at all. They're so weak. I have the weakest opinions. But look, man, like, we take a step back, and I'm trying to make this as positive as I can. There's so much talent that AEW has at their disposal. And I know there's another company up there in Stamford, Connecticut that usually gets draped over the coals for not utilizing talent. But I've been told FTR is one of the best generation of talents. I've been told FTR doesn't care about flips. They care about actual hard-hitting matches. And yes, they won today, so there's flashes of brilliance. But nothing has happened over the last 6 months after losing their titles that make me go, these guys need to be featured every week. These guys need to have a match every pay-per-view. And that's something they have to figure out real quick, unless they'll be eclipsed by arguably the best tag team division in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
That is a great point, a great transition into the last part of the show. It's what I call Farmer's Market. I watch AEW. And I tell you, if you could invest in one wrestler, who would it be? Whose stock is going to be on the rise? See, Roger, it's a play on words. My name's Jack Farmer. Farmer's Market is where you go to get fresh produce.
He got it.
Market is where you buy stock. and bonds and things. Farmer's Market is what we call this.
The show is called Dynamite. It's called a dud. We get it.
Something about a train.
So if the Farmer's Market left Denmark at 300 miles an hour. So here it is. The who you should invest in. If you watched AEW Dark, I don't know if you guys did, but there's a team you should be invested in right now, and that is Bear Country. They come out in cool masks. They're big and scary. They're a great tag team. The only thing really holding them back right now is the fact that the tag team division is stacked, and so it's going to be a tough battle for them. But they did just beat Chaos Project on AEW Dark, and they have been messing around with the Butcher and the Blade, leading me to believe that maybe they've got some things coming their way. And if you are a fan of AEW Dark, you should check them out. I think they're great. Do you guys watch AEW Dark? Do you guys know who Bear Country is?
I try to skim it every week or so just to make sure that I know what the hell I'm talking about. And Bear Market is pretty fine, man. Pretty solid. I can tell you one thing. If the tech team is looking for a second wave, you can't do worse than Bear Market. But I got to say Bear Market? Question
Bear
mark?
Bear Country.
To the moon, yes, what I'm baby. Saying.
I'm sorry. Yeah, to the moon. But Bear Country, are you kidding me? Like, to me, the name to me kind of kills the vibe, but the talent's there. Sorry, this is my Lucha Express. I apologize.
Honestly, look, there's so
I still say Lucha Express instead of Jungle
and
Express.
Pretty dangerous. Say- pretty dangerous.
Now, I haven't seen them. I have seen highlights, but I haven't actually seen them wrestle. So I'm going to trust your word on this.
They did this really cool move where one of them did a Fire Thunder Driver onto... They took Serpentico and they Fire Thunder Driver Serpentico onto Luther, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was pretty sick. But
in any case, that's the show. That's the thing. You guys stayed your hour. But before we go, we talked about in the beginning, Roger, where can the world find you? What shows are you working on?
You can find me on YouTube, Roger Talks Wrestling. I always have some stuff going on that channel. And you can find me on Twitter on Roger Corral. And that's it.
And the Weekly Finisher.
The Weekly Finisher is my weekly show on YouTube. I also I used to write down wrestling matches, and so I'm doing a show where I go back and look at my old notebooks from the 90s, and I hired some anime people to draw some stuff for me, so I'm doing that about once a month. So yeah, just check me out.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, thanks. Definitely check out Beef Supremo. He's doing some crazy stuff. I mean, it's cool because it's like it's totally you and it's authentic as hell, man. Respect.
Thank you.
Flobo Boys, at Flobo Boys on social media, flobito.com. And Jack and I do a sister show on Thursday afternoons. It's called Draped in Gold. Learn more about that show. We recover NXT and NXT UK at drapedingold.com.
That is always a treat. We had Andy Shepherd on the other week, which is really cool. Draped in Gold, there's everything tournament. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. For those of you who don't know as well, I'm also the host for the United Wrestling Network's Primetime Live and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which you can check out on Fight TV this week, which is available now. We had Eli Drake on. You may know him as L.A. Knight these days, but
he's
on there first. So check it out. And as always, until next time, do your best and be yourself.